Hello and welcome to the Real Raw You podcast. My name is Jenna Clackert, former corporate executive turned lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, we bring you a new guest to inspire you to live more, love more, and be the real raw you.
I want to go ahead and give you a brief introduction to David, and we'll go ahead and dive right in. David is the rock star of the superfood industry. He is a spokesperson for the Nutribullet, and we'll talk a little bit about blending your foods and nutrients. And he works with America's top CEOs, global ambassadors, Hollywood celebrities day in and day out. He's truly walks his talk. David, I was hoping you'd just give a little bit of background to how you got into this work, into this movement really of healing and raising frequency.
I think it's just, you know, you have a destiny in the world, and there's an old Roman phrase that says, if you do not align with your destiny, you will be dragged by the fates. If you align with your destiny, the fates will carry you. And I think that's the story of the early part of my life. I was kind of going another direction, different, really what was anti-intuitive to me, what wasn't the right thing. And eventually it came to like a point where I realized, like, whoa, this is what I've got to do. I don't care about all the schooling I've done, all the trajectory that was heading me towards like patent law. I just couldn't do it anymore. And so I turned around and just went headlong into doing basically small nutrition events. 4 people at a health food store, 10 people at a health food store. And it started like that, about in the mid-90s.
Clearly, you just know your heart and your body and all your energy is just aligned with that, what I like to call the real raw you, that your knower really, really knows. So when was it that, was it at that same time that you really just was like, I know? Or has it evolved as you've grown your business and your company?
Well, we actually, I think, all do know what we really love to do. We all do know what we really, really like. We all are geniuses at the thing that is our favorite subject, right? Like, if you pick your favorite subject, you're a genius at it. You know everything about it. You know all the details. You have a photographic memory about it. And so with just that, I started realizing, like, whoa, I could actually align every single skill I have to this end because it's completely in alignment with who I am. And that was really the breakthrough moment. That happened August 16th, 1994.
Wow, you remember the date. That's cool.
I remember the date, yeah, and I remember the moment. And so, that's a grace, you know, that's a grace in your life. If you find your mission in your life and you can apply 1,000% of yourself to that mission, it's a grace, you know, it's a grace from God. So that's, I feel very blessed in that way.
Oh, I love that. I love that. A lot of my work is about helping people really find themselves. And one of the ways I know is through changing the frequency of that's around us, not just food, but changing the frequency of all things and intuitively being around higher frequency things. Can you talk a little bit about, and we'll dive into the food in just a minute, but can you talk a little bit about what is it for you when you dive into some of those higher vibrations, those higher frequencies of this reality?
What turns me on about it, or what it has?
That's a great word. What turns you on about it?
Well, I find that our world is you know, very different from the world that I live in. Like, the world at large is very pessimistic, you know, super lowest common denominator kind of vibration. Like, you know, just it's really like weird. You know, like, I grew up with personal development technology. I grew up listening to tapes nonstop, you know, from the age 14 on. I listened to Wayne Dyer's, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn's, Les Brown, Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield, Maxwell Maltz, you know, all of that stuff, the psychology of winning. I just, you know, I got that deep into me, and that to me is really high vibrational material that gets you clicking at that frequency of being able to say, yes, I can. Get us out of that doubt and pessimism and get us into, like, favorable odds. get you into that feeling of, wow, I can actually win. I could actually live my dreams rather than, oh, I can't today, or no, it's not possible, oh, I don't have enough energy, or whatever that really lowest common denominator, I don't even want to say that. It's just this weird thing that's like really, it's captured the human race. It's a very, very low vibe, and just, it's not cool. It's like really like self-deprecating.
Yeah, the limitations of this reality. Right. So let's dive into food. And I know one of the pieces of work that I've enjoyed from you is to look at what are the foods that amplify the functionality of the brain, so to speak, and our intuition and our wisdom. And so I wanted to start there, and then we'll just dive into more deliciousness after that.
Okay, I want to read you a quote that was sent by a friend of mine to me. You know, this is a friend of mine who's a Rudolf Steiner student, as I am. You know, I'm a major student of Rudolf Steiner. And one of Rudolf Steiner's students said to him, this is back in 1922. I think Rudolf Steiner died in 1925. But one of the students had asked Rudolf Steiner, like, how come this spiritual impulse, you know, which you, Rudolf Steiner, are constantly providing stimulus for, how come it isn't catching on? Like, how come people are not tuning into what you are offering? And then this is what Rudolf Steiner said. He said, this is a problem of nutrition. Nutrition as it is today does not supply the strength necessary for manifesting the spirit in physical life. A bridge can no longer be built from thinking to will and action. Food plants no longer contain the forces people need for this. Now, this took me many years. It took me my whole career to come to this conclusion. I think Rudolf Steiner's right, but I think he's right in a way that we don't have a science to understand, because our science says, it does contain things. I'm getting an echo.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been getting an echo. It's like a teeny sound.
Let me take off my headset just a minute. Is that better?
That's better, yeah.
Great. Thank you for letting me.
Okay, so we don't really have a science that understands what Rudolf Steiner is driving at. So let me just get to this, because this is, I think, one of the most valuable insights ever. Our science is like, oh, it contains zinc, it doesn't contain zinc. Our science says, oh, it has this many carbohydrates, it has that much amount of protein in it. It contains that omega-3 fatty acid or the other one or whatever. But what Rudolf Steiner is talking about with nutrition is not that. What he's talking about are subtle energetic forces that are in our food. They're almost always in homegrown food because your love is in it. Your love is present in it. So when you're growing that homegrown food, the food is picking up on subtle energetic forces that can help you to achieve the full manifestation of spirit into your body. But most of the food today is not even close, and that really is what led me to superfoods. That superfoods like chlorella, spirulina, hemp seed, goji berries, maca, you know, the super root, bee products in particular, obviously all organic, you know, of course, are more likely to pick up those subtle energetic forces and allow you to really more capably manifest your spirit into your body. And so this is Rudolf Steiner talking in 1922. So the food situation today is way, way worse than it was in 1922. It's not even comparable. And so what the effect of all this terrible food is that it's actually disturbing our ability for our spirit to fully come alive in our body.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. It's just a joy to hear that. It's just this is like feeding everything that I'm about. And in some way been fighting, I'm like, people aren't going to understand this, but that's exactly what I'm interested in doing on this planet. So that 100% excites me so much. So let's talk about beyond the superfoods, like what are, and I know that this is probably addressed somewhat in the color cures. Do you want to go into that now? Would that be a place to kind of supercharge this conversation?
Sure. Yeah, we can go into that now.
Great. So let's talk about the new book, Color Cures, and what is it about the color of food and the properties of that that is really going to change our lives? What information can we offer to the audience here to, you know, really amplify some change?
Well, one thing that I like about the color cure and the whole idea of color is that it's so obvious. Mm. And I really took on Jim Rohn's phrase many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, that success is a refined study of the obvious. I think that's a really, really powerful phrase. I think all the great technological breakthroughs in the future are coming from examining the obvious. It's when you want to find your role in life, your dharma, your mission, you got to really, really get obvious. You got to get obvious about what you really like. It's the most obvious thing, actually, that is your mission. And so this whole thing about color is very obvious. It's like the first thing you see when you look at anything is its color. It registers so subconsciously. All colors are not equal, and some colors are much more rare in nature. So, for example, like blacks, whites, silvers, and grays, they predominate because half the night or half the day is night. So you don't actually have real color. You have more of a silver or a gray or a white or black. And then when you do have color, you see yellows and oranges and reds much more predominantly as a pigment in substances than you see blue for sure and purple and indigo. So it's an interesting discovery. Now I'm gonna say something crazy, but I'm gonna actually ask that everybody examine this for themselves. And it's a shocker. It's a real shocker. And that is this: when you look at a rainbow, a real rainbow, like a picture of a rainbow, take a picture next time you see a rainbow, you're gonna notice the absence of a color. And that is blue isn't there. Mm. Blue is not there. Indigo maybe. Purple, yes, not blue. So the whole thing that we have been taught, Roy G. Biv, is actually Roy G. Iv. There is no blue in there. And that's a real shocking discovery, and that helps you to uncode that, whoa, what we've been taught about color is clouding our perception. And one of those areas is in food, that the color and richness of the food is actually that color pigment that makes a beet red, that makes a flower yellow, that makes an orange is actually the most powerful nutrient in that food, which is super obvious. I mean, wow. It's the most obvious thing ever.
Yes.
It's actually that color pigment that is that super nutrient that really is the key indicator as to what that food does. It's the clue.
Hmm. Right. Of course. That's brilliant.
That's the color cure, just super obvious. And actually, by the way, I pulled that book from my publisher because they didn't really get it. They really didn't get it. You know, they're in the nutrition world. This book is actually way beyond nutrition, and it's about colors. Actually, what I'm thinking about doing is expanding it into kind of like a Carl Sagan-style Cosmos video series in combination with a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you think about it, color is a frequency. For us to see a color, I mean, you know, in fact, there's, you know, the infrared and the ultraviolet that the physical eye can't see. But, you know, those are all, I mean, everything's a frequency, I guess, at the end of the day. But, you know, that is a different frequency. Of course it would match up with a higher level of vibration and frequency and mean property, so to speak, of what the food is. I absolutely love that. So when we're talking about really healing the body, longevity, supercharging our lives, is there any place that you normally start people with your work? Is there certain foods that you just always are just a big yes for?
Well, there's certain strategies that are a big yes, and one is the whole idea of blending and getting into a high-speed blender. It's one of the reasons why I got into the development of the Nutribullet to begin with, because I've lived out of a blender for 20 years, and it's very, very important to get some of your nutrition blended because you just absorb more. I mean, now, you know, after all these years, I finally found the scientific studies that show that you actually do absorb more if you blend your food. It's obvious, but, you know, it's nice to have the studies there too. And by the way, in that research and the way I came across that research was in studying the color cure and figuring out how to absorb these pigments, these color pigments, in an accelerated way. Because actually, as it turns out, many of these color pigments, especially vegetable pigments, like carotene, you know, carotenoids like lutein, lycopene, zeaxanthin, beta carotene, alpha carotene, those kind of things are actually very difficult to absorb as compared to like the betalain pigment or the red pigment in a beet. And so I started looking into like how do we increase the absorption, and what I want to share next is really interesting because blending does increase the absorption of those super antioxidants, which are anywhere from 3 to 50 times more powerful than vitamin C, by the way.
Wow, I had no idea.
But blending with oil, blending with something fatty, like blending with an avocado, blending with ghee, blending with olive oil, will extract those pigments because those pigments, those carotene pigments, again, like beta carotene, alpha carotene, lutein, which is really important for your eyes, astaxanthin, those things are fat soluble. And so in order to actually absorb those things, you actually need some fat or oil as an extraction medium in your blended food. So, for example, what that means is that if you're drinking vegetable juice, like green vegetable juice, like kale juice, there's a huge amount of carotene in kale. Almost all of it is not absorbed if you drink that juice straight. You know, you'll absorb somewhere between 5 and 10%. If you add oil to it, you'll absorb up to 40%. If you then heat it up to about just above your body temperature, just kind of that soup, hot soup temperature, the uptake goes up another 20% to 60%. And what this means is that through blending, the addition of something oily and heat, you can 12-fold the uptake of these antioxidants into your body, 12 times more. I just want to clarify that. Which is something you do actually feel, and it's something profound.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible. I had never, ever heard that either. I naturally do that. For one, just to keep things, you know, in a more satisfied state by adding oil to everything and to keep, you know, my blood sugar from skyrocketing. But that's a brilliant. I had no idea that that was – how do they study that? How do they study absorption?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you're asking that because we may have heard of the first level of antioxidant research, which is, you know, how much antioxidant is in the food to begin with. That's sometimes called an ORAC score. And that can be misleading because it's not indicating how much you're absorbing. So years ago, it's probably been 20 years of strong research on this. They started to realize, like, hey, what's really important is actually what is absorbed. So let's feed people this food, let's say just raw tomatoes, for example, and then we'll test their blood an hour later, 2 hours later, 4 hours later, 8 hours later, 12 hours later, 24 hours later, and see what happened. So they found out that when you eat a tomato, the amount of lycopene, which is the red pigment that's in the tomato that makes a tomato red, is absorbed at about 5%, which is pretty darn low just from eating it raw. Then they realize, hey, if you blend it, you can get that up to 10%, you know, through blood work, not through ORAC score, through how much is showing up in the blood. Then they start realizing, hey, what if we blend it and add oil to it? Because these things are oil soluble. Boom, the uptake went up significantly to 40%. That, you know, that's probably the most significant thing you can do is add some kind of a fat or oil to your vegetables. I mean, that we do it instinctively anyway, right? That's why you add like sunflower seeds or almonds to your salad or put an avocado in your salad or put olive oil in your salad. But again, we have to chew through it, so it's not like blending it, because blending micronizes it and actually breaks it down to fine little particles, which is, you know, beyond most people's chewing ability. And then the third step was to realize that, hey, if you heat this stuff up, the absorption goes up to about 60%, which is, again, 12 times higher than original, just eating it raw. But what's interesting here is that when you – this is a fascinating discovery, that if you let the food cool down, the uptake of the lycopene goes back down again. So it's the temperature you ingest it at.
Wow, that's crazy. That's so crazy to know. My head is just spinning. Wow.
And it this led eventually to the development, you know, because I've been working with Nutribullet now for, it's been, geez, we're getting on 5 years here. You know, we developed the Nutribullet. It's one of the most successful kitchen appliances out there in America today.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, this research led to the development of the Nutribullet RX, which is has that soup-making function, which
mm-hmm.
is designed to do all three of these things. One, get the vegetables in there. Two, add the oil. Three, heat it up to that perfect temperature. So you it pretty much kind of automatically gives you that you know magical you know extraction that you want. It kind of automatically does it for you. And when you do those, like sometimes I'm on TV with that blender and I'll be on there for like you know a whole day, you know, literally sometimes 24 hours straight, you know, and I'll have 2 hour break in between, an hour on live TV, and then go back for 2 hours. Hour on, and I'll be drinking those all day. That's all I'll have that day. And when
uh-huh.
you do like when you do five soups like that, you feel it. You can feel the power that I never felt before. I mean, I'm obviously a raw food enthusiast for 20 plus years. I never felt the power of the vegetables until this breakthrough, which really came from a random scientific journal entry that I picked up in the Color Cure research. That led me to an entire world of discovery.
That's crazy. Oh, my gosh, that is so exciting. You know, I went from kind of a normal diet, like just a normal kind of healthy-like diet, to eating raw and trying to really go kind of more paleo raw, you know, focusing more on the high-fat foods so that it wasn't just all sugar. And it changed my life so dynamically that I not only felt like I was just more me, like I just felt, okay, this knowing inside of me is growing, the frequency inside me is growing, and it's just a lot of things I just started to know that I know that I know. So that totally excites me that we can amp this up another level. You know, what else is possible if we – you know, apply some of these tips that you're talking about. That's absolutely phenomenal. Wow, that's great. What other tips before we go into? I know I'm kind of dying to talk about the vanilla and cacao, but right before we do, is there any other tips? Because I know as soon as I get you on this topic, we're both gonna go nuts.
Okay, yeah. I mean, once we get going here. By the way, I want to digress for just a second. I want to say something really profound here. You know, I spent years listening to Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Les Brown, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, every day in my car, you know, nonstop. It was like automobile education. And I just got a text from Mark Victor Hansen just right now, this very minute. And I found that to be so interesting that I was the guy that went to those seminars and bought all the tapes and spent all the money at all those seminars. And what it did in transform my life and really it's transformed nutrition across the world. I just got a text from my mom. My mom's from Iran originally, and her best friend just saw me on TV in Iran with the Nutribullet. So if you don't believe in the power of success technology and putting the right thoughts into your mind and reading the right books and getting those tapes and that audio material into your brain, I got news for you. You need to delete that program and start over because this stuff works. It's crazy. It's amazing what this technology has done. These people that I used to listen to now call me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's very surreal.
Well, I talk to them. The people that I listen to, I'm now talking to. I've interviewed Mark Victor Hansen and Les Brown. It's been years since I've interviewed Les. But, yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. You know, and basically what you're doing with your teleseries is really great because it is really that. You're basically taking this incredible technology and you're making it available for people. So thank you for doing that. And if you're listening right now, hang in there because there's some more stuff coming. We're just getting started here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is great.
So let's jump into other things that are really important. One thing that's super important is we got to go organic. Mm-hmm. Organic food is no way good enough. Conventional food is not even edible. That's where we're at. Mm-hmm. So let me just say that one again. Organic food is not good enough. Conventional food is not even edible. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. And why is it not edible? Not only is it contaminated with the chemical list. I have the list. They used to publish them on the internet, the list of all the chemicals in the food put out by the FDA and the USDA. I'm gonna just pop it open here. I want you to just hear this real quickly. There it is, FDA PDF. This was a total market study done June 2003. This is typical cheddar cheese pulled off shelves in 100 stores in America. Here's the chemical pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and herbicides found. Trichloroethane, trimethylbenzene, dichloroethene, azinophosmethyl, benzene, chlordane, chlorobenzene, chloroform, DDE, which is a metabolite of DDT, dichlorobenzene, dieldrin, diphenyl ethyl hexyl phosphate, endosulfan sulfate, ethylbenzene, heptachloropoxide, hexachlorobenzene, methoxychlor, octachloropoxide, permethrin, transpermethrin, styrene, tetrachloroethylene, toluene, trichloroethylene, xylene. That's just cheddar cheese. The list, by the way, should be zero. Just so we're clear, like that list 100 years ago was zero. There wasn't any of those chemicals in the food. And we're wondering what's causing this cancer epidemic and this epidemic of all these weird diseases. It's like there's only so much chemical burden that we can withstand, and each person's different, and somebody's going to snap at a certain level and another person's going to snap at another level. And the older we get, the more we accumulate this stuff. That's why we have to detoxify our bodies. Super, super important. So we got to go organic, but it's not just because of those chemicals. It's also because organic food is much more likely to have the better subtle energy in it. And again, beyond that would be biodynamic farming, would be homegrown farming, or the type of farming we do here at my farm, which is we throw the whole book at it. We do biodynamic farming. We do compost teas. We do rock dust. We do seaweeds from the beach. I bring beach sand up here from debris from the beach up here every time I go to the beach. You know, all my trees and every single plant here is like loved to the max because we want to capture all those cosmic energies into that food. And really the best way to do that is use every food growing technology that's available to us.
Yeah. I think that's a really important topic that people overlook is love. You know, you can tell when you're being served food from a chef that loves and adds love to it. It's really dynamic. You know, just the art of what you're doing at your farm. I mean, you love it all. You love it so much that when people consume it, they receive that as well. And I think that that's really what, you know, makes the world go round, this love and gratitude that we have for all things. And, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that. That just made my heart light up so much. And, you know, at least with some organic farmers, they do love it. They want to bring it to the marketplace. And I think praying over food also makes a huge effect that we oftentimes don't talk about, and it doesn't seem to sink into the rest of the world. They're just like, okay, Grace. And I wonder, do you have a philosophy or a thought about that?
Like about what's going on, like with the nature of love and relationship to our food?
Yeah.
I have very strong feelings about that, and I think I really got turned on to it by a wonderful book that I read, one of the greatest books I've ever read. I was turned on to it by a friend of mine, Steve Adler, who runs Sacred Chocolate, you know, which is a wonderful chocolate company, by the way, that every chocolate that's produced by that chocolate company is prayed over and loved. Mm-hmm. Because Steve Adler years ago, him and I, we started out with Tony Robbins, you know, 25 years ago, and we went through all of the personal development technology. We used to go to Amway mega meetings, you know, like these meetings that would have like 10,000 people in the audience. We would sneak in and just watch these incredible speakers and just be completely like lit up by the inspiration. And so all these years later, Steve Adler started sending me copies of this book called Love Without End by Glenda Green. Highly, highly, highly recommended. One of the most incredible bits of information on the planet Earth. And it's about love. And that really, like when you deal like with food, the problem with our food system is it's grown without love, it's picked without love, it's shipped without love, it's delivered without love, it's prepared without love, it's eaten without love. And yeah. It's all of that combined is like, well, of course we get into these troubles. So it's about bringing love back into every single thing that you do, and that love is really the energy currency of the universe. And that's why you'll see videos all over Facebook of dogs and cats kissing each other, of cats raising rats, of dogs raising animals that they normally eat, like rabbits. You think like, well, what about their instinct? It's because love is even higher than instinct. It's even more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we just consume things and we don't bring in the love into our body either. People don't love their bodies anymore. They just, they treat them kind of, one of the jokes within our arena is if your body was a dog, it would like run away. It's no wonder you're dying. because we don't care. We don't treat our body with love. And so we don't consume food with love. And we don't do everything else in our world with love like we could. Like, what else is possible here? All right, well, brought up the subject. So let's talk about chocolate and cacao. And just let us all in on that. I know you're in Hawaii and you said bring up vanilla.
Yeah. Okay. So So 2 days ago, I was walking up the stairs, and I smelt the distinct smell of vanilla, and I was like, "Whoa!" So I just sniffed it out, and it brought me to vanilla pods. Now I've been growing vanilla in Hawaii for 10 years, and we finally got to fully vine ripened vanilla pods or fruits. Now almost all vanilla on the market is kind of ripened artificially. All of it, actually. I've never seen actually naturally vine-ripened vanilla in my life. It doesn't exist. They always pick the vanilla early and then put it in a box and sweat it, and that gives you a little bit more aroma, and it just, kind of gives us the vanilla that we're used to. And I thought, you know what? No, I'm going to do it naturally and see what happens naturally. Let's let it – we had to hand-pollinate it because the Melipona bee that normally pollinates vanilla in Central America isn't present in our ecosystem. So we hand-pollinated the vanilla flowers last year, and they produced fruits, and then it took 9 months for them to ripen up naturally. But when they ripened up and they started splitting and the aroma hit, it was like – what an incredible day. 10 years in the making, and they're literally in my hand right now. I'm so beyond ecstatic about it. It's literally the best news ever.
That is so awesome. Yeah. Gosh.
And so what's great is there's 100 more. There's 100 more that are still ripening up out there. So it's like, whoa.
Wow. So then – your farm actually harvests them and then brings them to market?
I'm probably the only person in the world that goes from soil to chocolate bar. I'm sure there is no other operation in the world that takes it from soil to chocolate bar. So when we started this farm, we started with the soil. We prepared the soil, then we planted the cacao beans from the seed stage, grew the chocolate trees all the way to fruiting pods, and then now we're processing that into chocolate bars, with our vanilla and our honey in it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I have a friend who went to Guatemala recently, and there's a white gooey something within the cacao pod that has something that you can eat as well. She says it's like ice cream. What is that? Do we use that in any food?
Great question. Okay, so just for everybody who's not aware, chocolate grows on a tree, and it's a fruit. Mm-hmm. And what the chocolate bean or cacao bean or cocoa bean is actually the seed of a fruit. It's really a nut. It's the most widely eaten nut in the world by far. But it's none of us have ever eaten it. We've all eaten a processed form of it. It's like, imagine I gave you almond powder, almond butter, almond oil, and then one day I showed up and I said, hey, here's an almond. That's the power. That's what it's like to eat raw chocolate for the first time, to eat a raw cacao bean for the first time. Now, chocolate has many, many secrets that people are not aware of. And I've been literally growing chocolate for 10 years. And so I've seen there's so much going on, like the umbilical cords in the middle of the fruit that attach to every nut that's growing in that fruit with the fruit pulp around it. We take all of that material and we dehydrate it. Just break open the pod, take all that material, and we just put it on a dehydrator tray. We dehydrate it. I've got jars full of it. I'm looking at it right here in my room. When you bust this stuff out, like I'm going to get some out right now. When you get this out and you crack into it, you bite into it, first of all, it's not brown most of the time. It's actually purple because the anthocyanins haven't broken down. Oh my God. Mm. That was good. Whoa, was that good. That was like a Willy Wonka flavor. And then the fruit pulp on the outside, so we're drying the fruit pulp right onto the bean. We're the only operation in the world that does this. Listen to this. We take the entire fruit, the whole thing, dehydrate it, and then grind it into chocolate bars. No sweetener, nothing added, nothing except cacao. That's it. And it's 100% chocolate. And it's unlike anything you've ever had because it's not fermented, and the fruit pulp is the sweetener.
Hmm. Gotcha. Wow.
Yeah.
It goes
on and on like this. I mean, here's another thing about the fruit pulp. The fruit pulp that surrounds those cacao nuts or beans or chocolate nuts, the fruit pulp is traditionally throughout all of Central America and Amazonia only eaten by women and children. Men don't eat it for some reason.
Oh,
it's only
really?
Eaten by women and children. Yeah. Now, they didn't communicate with each other. They didn't have cell phones or anything. So how is it that could happen? It's because it's intrinsic to the substance. This substance, the cacao fruit pulp, this is a food for women and children. It's like there's something about it that's special for women and children, and we need to revive that and bring that back. And that's what I've been doing, you know, bringing that awareness back as much as possible.
Yeah, it probably has something to do with the female hormones that would nurture us.
Yeah, it's a nurturing thing for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like that, doesn't it? Gosh, you know, we had like a cacao ceremony. She brought back a bunch of cacao beans, and she ground it up in a coffee grinder and then made, kind of like a hot chocolate. And it's actually quite bitter when you consume it that way. So we added some, you know, coconut nectar and something like that. But the frequency that I received from that was, you know, it was like I was on a drug, a high. You know, do you just find that it amps up frequency, or can we actually take too much of it? And do you know?
It's, you know, chocolate is like, it's the world's greatest drug. It's the world's greatest food, and it's a sacred food. It's a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's not the next subject of abuse, which is kind of typical Western patterning, right? Like, well, let's take the next thing and abuse it. Let's take the next thing. We'll just, you know, abuse the hell out of that. So it's not the next subject of abuse. It's a sacred food, and it's a holy sacrament. And it is the food of love. It is the food of love. Out of any food in the whole world, there is one food that is more correlated to love than any other, and it's chocolate.
Right.
And so just tuning into that vibration and just being like, I can't even tell you how amazing it is to have been growing these chocolate trees all these years, 25 different varieties here on this property, varieties from all over the world, and, you know, varieties that have come from all over the Hawaiian Islands that we've collected, and the magic of it, and just, it's just incredible what this thing is. It's beyond. I mean, let me tell you how crazy it is. It's zany, right? So, for example, the chocolate flower is not pollinated by bees. It's pollinated by midges and fruit flies and mosquitoes.
Hmm, really?
Mosquitoes do actually do something good.
Right? Well, everything does something good.
I looked for
we
a long time.
We sometimes don't
on
know it.
I knew for so many years, even as a kid, I thought, there's got to be a reason why mosquitoes are here. It can't be just 100% like bad news. And then I realized, you know, from the literature, just like the last 5 years, that they have now confirmed that it is a fact that mosquitoes pollinate cacao trees. And I was like, yep, that's good news. Finally.
Good. Right. We'll have to find something for cockroaches too. I hear they're high in protein or something like that.
I saw a battle yesterday. I was up in the jungle up behind my house, and I saw a battle between cockroaches and ants.
Wow.
That was intense. It was like, whoa. The cockroaches lost, by the way.
Good.
They're like, we're out of here. We can't handle this. And they like took off. There was some old buckets up there, and they were infested with ants and cockroaches. I couldn't even bring them down near the house. So I don't want any more ants or cockroaches near the house. But they were battling it out, and the cockroaches lost.
It's funny how nature works. And it's funny, you know, sometimes people wouldn't even notice that. And, you know, I find that if you just notice everything and you're with everything, there's quite some fascination out there beyond what most people can receive in this reality.
There's so many great things going on at all times.
Yeah, and just consciousness delivers. Like sometimes you'll just be walking down the street and a child will say something and you'll be like, oh, I needed to hear that. And it changes your entire day or your life or you know, something that you need to transfer to somebody else. It's just absolutely phenomenal when you can really be with it and be able to receive and be open to receive from almost anything. You know, one of the things that one of our speakers talks about is consciousness includes everything and judges nothing. And I just absolutely love that philosophy that we really can receive from everything, even the ants and the cockroaches. And their play together.
I agree with that. I think actually nature is actually assembled like a giant riddle and a giant story, and there's always a message every day or a theme every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tune into that, it does. It's like if you tune into that, like you're like, oh, there's a theme today. For example, like yesterday was just a little bit out of the flow for me. It was like a little bit, like for example, I normally get 11:11, you know, 11:11 a.m. and 11:11 p.m. But boom, yesterday I hit 11:12, and it was just a little off. And so I spent the day just doing those fine-tune adjustments to get into the flow, which I think I finally hit it yesterday evening, but it took all day. So I kind of look at it that way, like there's a theme to the day. Some days are just super on, where you're just clicking. You're getting 3-3-3, 11-11-11, things are on, the synchronicities are flowing. You think about something, suddenly it's there. You know, so that's the theme for that day. So that's more of what we're really fostering, I think, in people is this idea of magical thinking instead of material thinking.
Yes, thank you. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about, we have a special offer for everyone. It's called Supercharge Your Life, Tips and Tools to Maximize Your Well-Being in 2015. Would you be willing to go through, you know, what really will the audience receive when they purchase this program?
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm really into is that what we were talking about before, which is personal development type of information and technology and putting – I'm an educator. I mean, that's what I do. That's my career. That's what I love. And I love turning people on to those things that really make me happy and get me excited. One of the things that gets me super excited is technology of health and technology of wellness, technology of longevity. I mean, it's, you know, that's why we do our longevity conferences. We're headed into our 14th conference. But what we've done for you guys is we've actually taken the last conference, the 13th one, and we took 18 hours of that information and we put it into a downloadable instant access format. That's basically like 9 movies plus 5 ebook transcripts of the presentation. So if you can't quite hear the word, or if you're like, wait, what was that? It's all there for you, like written out. So you get all that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really, that's like the whole longevity conference plus 5 books from the conference, just so you can follow along. If there's words you don't know or concepts, you can go, wait, what was that again? So that's that. Mm-hmm. That's almost a $500 value. Then we took the Women's Wellness Conference, which we do every year. We do Longevity Conference every year. We do Women's Wellness Conference every year. That's 16 hours of information. We put that together, and it's, you know, that, for example, we get into every single aspect of women's health, from hormonal health, longevity strategies, how to feed children. This is an area, by the way, that I'm really into. It took me many, many years to really understand what is critical for children's nutrition. And that kind of stuff is in there. That's 12 presentations, 16 hours of material. So right there we're up, what are we at? We're at like 34 hours
days,
of information right there.
Weeks. Weeks and weeks of information so far, yes. Over 16 hours. Gosh.
We're trying to get people off of Netflix and onto this, because the movie's great, and once it's over, it's like, well, that was a good movie, but it doesn't stay with you. What we're doing here is we're trying to create movies that do stay with you for your whole life, your whole family's life. It'll be passed on to your kids and your grandkids, because this type of education has nothing to do with what's being taught in school, because what's being taught in school actually has nothing to do with what's important. Yeah, you know, it's like the further we go into the education system, the more we realize, like, geez, we're learning about the capital of Idaho. Who cares? How about how do we take care of our children? What do we feed our kids? You know, I don't want to get into this whole thing about some of the things I've been seeing online about some of the people in the military that are just like, what am I doing? I'm out of here. Because, like, what's going on with, like, you know, destroying places, lives, buildings, people? It's like, let's get out of that program, the military war machine, and actually let's come back home and let's get our military to start planting trees along the highways, start planting fruit trees in our major cities, you know, doing something that's important and valuable rather than this destruction business.
Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting too is the more and more of us are realizing that, like, you know, we're already against the next war. We're already against it. Well, you know, what's the next thing they're going to trump up? It's like, oh, we have to go destroy this now. It's like, you know, we're actually over that program, and now we're on to let's rebuild lives from the inside out. And that's really what this material is about, is getting us to really get into, like the next thing we put in here for everybody is the superfood recipe book. So you just get this feel like, okay, here's how we use cacao beans. Here's how I use berries, you know, to make, you know, superfood drinks. Here's, you know, what Lucuma is, and here's how I use it. So that's another thing we put in here is a 21-page book on that. 11 recipes in there, so it kind of guides you through superfood alchemy. Because the Color Cure book, it's such a massive, massive project. It's like right now it's a 600-page book, single space type.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't include any pictures, or I'm not even done with it yet. I mean, I pulled it from my publisher. I'm like, look, I need to like actually keep going on this and go deeper. Anyway, that right there, I summarized up the key ideas of the Color Cure in a 30-minute audio so that you can take the essential basis of, you know, what that whole project is about and utilize it immediately. So that's in there. Another 30-minute audio on goal setting, the key foundational success technology. You write out your goals. You have goals for your kids, write them out. You have goals for your grandkids, write them out. Get it out of your head. Get it onto paper. Start to look at it. Start to finesse it. Play with it. Super valuable, powerful piece there. And then normally on a longevity conference, I'll do a master's workshop on the Monday following. We took that one from our longevity conference 2014, which is the last one. That was our 13th one. That one, we took that entire master's workshop, and we're putting that in there as a bonus as well. That's 4 hours of material there. I think that's 38 hours of material overall.
You know, this program is $97. This is just absolutely phenomenal. Oh, wow.
Here's my guarantee. I'm going to guarantee this to anybody listening right now. I'll guarantee this. This is the best $97 you've ever spent on anything in your whole life. That's my guarantee.
Just,
in this awe. You know, it's just kind of this like, whoa, this, I mean, this is information that'll change your life. And it's not just about eating differently, and it's not just about, you know, different food. I mean, there's a lot of general nutrition information out there, but I mean, we're talking alchemy of, you know, combining foods, of blending foods, and a whole lot more. You know, the conference, I was looking at some of your speakers in the conference, and I'm like, I want to do that. That would be absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I think now I'm just going to be there until I can be a part of it. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. Wow. And, you know, it's so nice that you have a mixture of things, too. This beauty with goal setting as well as the longevity conference. That's just absolutely great. Yeah,
it's really, you know, that's getting into, you know, tuning into what you're really about, what your mission is. My mission is about that. You know, I'm into success technology. I'm into the ability of, like, using our literacy. I mean, we are literate beings. You know, all our ancestors were not literate. That is so amazing that we can read and write. But a person who does not read is no better off than a person who cannot read. A person who does not write is no better off than a person who cannot write.
Yeah. You know, I think that's another area that, you know, we just don't focus on in this world anymore either is, you know, really bringing true education to people. It just seems like there's just not enough.
I really feel like, you know, if you're that person, you're listening right now and you're going, you know, I just need that little bit of extra time to do this. The way you get that time is you get healthier. Because then you'll have more time because you have more energy. Now, let me tell you how powerful this is. It is. I've been committed for many years, to over 20 years, to get an extra 2 hours out of every day. In those extra 2 hours, I've written all my books. I've done everything, every single thing, every breakthrough. Right now, I'm writing an infomercial for the NutriBullet. I'm doing it in those last 2 hours of the day because I have enough energy to get a little bit more done, to get those 2 hours. That means in a year, I've gotten a month extra time. That's how much 2 hours a day gets you. In 12 years, I got an extra year of life. I got an extra year of creative time. So I'm not going to sleep my life away. I recommend that you get a really good night's sleep, but don't oversleep. And the healthier that you are, the less sleep you need to recover. And you can shave off that 8 hours and turn it into six, or shave off that 7 hours and turn it into five. Then you can do that in a healthy way. That takes time, but it's possible. And that's in that period of time is where you make the breakthroughs.
You know, and it's not just time. It's also focused attention. I think that's the big difference here is with food and changing it. For me, it took me from being ADD all the time to really being clear, really truly having clarity in my life in all aspects, including focus.
Well said, and thanks for saying that, because that's such a great benefit of all this. You know, when you can get into the zone, and every now and then I get into the zone when I'm doing a cleanse, where I get into a fast. And last year, you know, I wouldn't recommend this for most people because you have to really get there over many years. You have to have a lot of experience to get there. But last year I did 5.5 days of no food and water while running a retreat in Bali. And it was the best thing I'd done for myself in over 10 years. I couldn't believe it. I got into a state because you have to be hydrated, obviously, before you do something like that. Right. And you also have to be well-nourished, right? But if you are well-hydrated and well-nourished, this whole thing of you're going to die if you don't drink in 3 days, like, that's ridiculous. You know, the whole thing, you're going to die if you don't eat within a few weeks, is totally absurd also. You're going to burn off all the excess. And when you do that kind of fasting, you burn it off faster. And we were stuck in a traffic jam for like 7 hours. And, you know, there's a Hindu festival going on. And I was just literally on this bus with our whole retreat. And we're having the best time ever in the middle of a traffic jam. We're stuck in for 7 hours. That's the power of clarity, of cleansing. That's the power of fasting. Hard to understand when we're malnourished, hard to understand when we're dehydrated. easier to understand when we get nourished and hydrated.
And going through the addictive process, the people who drink coffee and other chemicals that they're addicted to, when they fast, they just feel miserable and like they don't want to move. Like, you know, you got to get over all of that first for most world.
It's totally right. It's like a 3-day kind of like, sometimes it's 4 days, but that first 3 to 4 days coming off the caffeine or coming off whatever the, you know, whatever the, whatever it is, because food is basically today is like drugs. I mean, all food is like drugs. It's like coming off drugs. So you have to like, it's a rough ride. And that's why it's hard to even crack into a cleanse just kind of out of the blue. You have to prepare yourself. You have to go, okay, this is the set time I'm going to do this. If I fall down, I'm going to get back up. And, you know, you have to really plan it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's incredible. Can I ask you one more question before we get off on a personal note?
For sure.
Okay. Tell me about electrolytes. Do we really need to be having electrolytes in the way that we are having them? It seems that, you know, there are people that really have a position on that, and there are others that don't. So I just kind of wanted to hear your take on that.
Okay, my take on it is this. Basically, the whole idea of electrolytes really just means salt. And the type of salt I'm talking about is sea salt, which is the most natural and most bioavailable form of salt for us. What we've done is we've completely inverted the natural order of things. When you're dealing with like a wild animal in nature, like an elephant or a giraffe or a tiger or a lion in Africa, they're not looking for salt. They're not looking for potassium. They're looking for salt. We've inverted that. We put salt in everything, and now nobody has any potassium. They have heart problems because they have no potassium. Potassium is in all raw foods. It's particularly abundant in fruits, vegetables, and nuts and seeds. And it's almost impossible not to have enough. And potassium balances out sodium. So in nature, if you want to detoxify yourself, you have no sodium in your diet. You let the electrolytes run down, and your body will detoxify. But you can't go that long like that because you won't be able to stay hydrated and hold good blood quality and blood volume because you don't have any salt in your body. So instinctively, animals in nature will go for that salt lick, or they'll go for that salt bed, or they're going to go for that area where the salt is present. And they will risk life and limb to do that because that's how important salt is. So the Roman soldier, for example, you know, where we get our word salt and the word salary, it comes from the Roman soldiers 1 week out of the month salt pay, where they were paid in salt. And that's where we get you're not worth your weight in salt, kind of, you know, that phrase. Because sodium, I'm not talking about Morton's iodized salt. I'm not talking about kiln-dried salt. I'm not talking about heavily processed salt. I'm talking about natural sea salt is actually more important than food. Again, we don't understand that because we're all inverted because we have so much of this toxic salt used as a preservative in every single processed food that's out there, every one of them. Look at the ingredients. Look at the last ingredient. You'll see salt, salt, salt. If not sea salt, it's some kind of kiln-dried salt. Where what they do is they take a rock salt or a sea salt. They cook off the trace minerals, which is about 15% of the material, and they sell it to chemical companies. That's where all our chemicals come from, like chlorine used in your pool or fluoride or all that stuff. It comes from salt originally. And they cook that off, and then they recongeal what's left over into sodium chloride, which is natural, and it definitely is dangerous. And that's why we have this conflicting opinions about salt. Mm-hmm. Normally, sea salt is going to have those bioavailable magnesium, calcium, potassium, basically electrolytes that create good blood volume and good blood electricity. And that, by the way, if you do a low salt diet for too long, you'll run out of energy because you'll have too low of blood electricity. And so, you know, I've seen people who are like, no, you can't have salt. Then I see them cheating and eating salt. You know what I mean? So I've seen that for so many years of my career. People are out there like, no, salt's bad for you. Then I see them cheating and eating salt. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the real story, what's going on here. And that's where I come from in figuring this all out.
Nice. Thank you so much for that. Wow.
Water and salt, water and sea salt, I'm going to clarify, are the most critical nutrients way before food. If you have enough water, you have too much water, you can get dehydrated. If you have too little, you can get dehydrated. If you have too much sea salt, you get dehydrated. If you have too little, you get dehydrated. You need the right amount, the Goldilocks position on both.
Yeah, and if the body is 90% water, geez, we need to really be paying attention to that.
Yes.
You know, all day long, all day long. Wow, David, gosh, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for being a part of the series. And again, everybody, the special offer, there's a big yellow link after and underneath this audio, wherever you're listening to it. So go ahead and make sure you click on that, and you'll get that massive package that David talked about. So go ahead and click on that. Thank you. Thank you, guys, for your presence. Thank you, David, for your presence. And thank you so much for imparting so much amazing information to us. I'm so, so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been super fun.
Everyone, thank you for being a part of this show. For the special offer, please go to realrawyou.com/4, and you'll see the big yellow special offer link. Go ahead and click on that there. And I will see you on our next show. For other podcasts, go to realrawyou.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realrawyou. I'd love to get your comments after the speakers you're listening to, some feedback. Let's develop some community and have some fun. Talk to you later. Bye-bye, everyone.